Hi and welcome to the CDC podcast. In today's edition, we're looking at how investors and businesses can better support women's economic empowerment. There are, of course, huge opportunities here, which are supported by the stats. For example, McKinsey say that if women's participation rates in the global economy were the same as men's, it would add $28 trillion, or 26%, to annual GDP by 2025. But how do we achieve these opportunities? Well, in this podcast, we're going to share a few examples of how organisations can better support women's empowerment at different points in the value chain, from board level to employees and customers. So let's start by looking at how we can encourage more gender balance in senior leadership and board positions in developing countries.
My name is Tamsin Jones. I'm the Executive Director and co-founder of the Boardroom Africa.
Hi, my name is Marcia Ashong, and I'm also co-founder and executive director of the Boardroom Africa.
Tamsin and Marcia both set up the Boardroom Africa, an organization that aims to improve board level representation of women in businesses across the continent.
Our goal is to improve business performance through the acceleration of appointment of women to boards, enabled by leading an extensive database of senior executive women who are connected with development finance institutions like CDC Group, private equity funds, and other prominent companies who are interested in finding talented women for their boardroom.
What do you think the challenges are that face women wanting to get into senior positions in businesses on the continent?
I would say some of the major issues, especially with the Africa lens to it, some of the major issues that are affecting the progression of women to the top, although they seem to be getting better in terms of the pipeline, can be really related to cultural backgrounds that help to shape what the essence of leadership behavior should be. These entrenched gender stereotypes. So the likelihood of women, once they reach childbearing age, to stay at home due to societal pressures, society's acceptance of women as less capable of leading than men. All these have led to some really unintended, or even some cases you can argue intended, consequences for women not being able to really rise up the ranks as they should.
So Tamsin, tell us what the opportunities are then for business to encourage more women into board level and senior level positions.
There's a lot of research out there actually that that shows that where boards have at least a third women, they're performing better. So they're performing better in terms of their EBITDA, they're performing better in terms of the valuations they get if they sell the company and so forth. So there's a lot of data out there that really drives home that point. There's also a lot of talent out there that's currently not being utilized. So where companies are engaging with half of the world's working population and reflect that reality, they're able to do better. There's also really interesting research that shows that where there are women on boards, they're more likely to think about the issues facing women. So where there are women consumers in the business or women in the organization, and those things all make a real difference to the performance of the company. And where there are women at the top that are thinking about these issues and men who are thinking about the importance of diversity, that's when you really can create a significant shift. And we think the boardroom is the place to start, to make sure that businesses are thinking about that and that there is going to be an effect on that broader business with that increased diversity at the top.
And of course, there are opportunities for supporting women outside of senior leadership positions across the workforce. In several industries, for example, a lack of skills training means women's careers can often be held back. To help address this issue, during a construction project in Kenya, we worked with Actis, another investor in the project, to implement a training program to help upskill workers with a particular focus on women. And this next part begins with CDC's Ritu Kumar explaining why the project was particularly important in Kenya.
And in Kenya particularly, we find that, you know, the education levels for men and women are pretty much the same. So women are educated, but they are less representative in the labor force. So they are educated but unemployed. And, you know, we felt that this could be a sector where, you know, if we are able to provide some upskilling and training, we'd be able to make an impact on women's employment.
And Shami Nissan from Actis describes the impact the program's had.
The program had an impact on several levels. The first one was on the trainees themselves, obviously. Their ability to secure a job increased significantly because they had a qualification. For many of them, it was the first one that they've ever achieved. Many of them had never had a job before. Their ability also to earn a greater salary per day is a significant impact. So generally speaking, the socioeconomic benefit to them was significant as trainees. But also there's a strong commercial case for this project. And that is that from the construction site point of view, you have access to a workforce that's more qualified and better trained in health and safety. So you can build your buildings more quickly and more safely. Kenya has the dubious distinction of having the highest unemployment rate in the region, higher than Rwanda, Tanzania, Uganda, and Ethiopia. And if you look at the latest statistics, the unemployment rate for females is 10% higher than males, so it's critical that the women are given opportunities to upskill and find jobs.
And now we turn our attentions to a business in India that's benefiting from creating products deliberately aimed at supporting women.
Hi, my name is Rajiv Ahuja. I'm executive director of RBL Bank and look after its strategy.
Rajiv works for RBL, a financial institution in India. He begins by talking about exactly what kind of products they've introduced that are targeted specifically at women.
We've taken this up almost 6 years ago when we started our financial inclusion business to actually focus on the woman client. And today, over 1.5 million customers, all women, using a multitude of services of the bank across 750 branches, set up actually specifically for them in closer to the neighborhood. We provide loans, we provide banking services, remittances, cash deposit, insurance. The idea is to equip the woman to start taking care of a household from a financial perspective. This is a very critical part of the development, not just of our business, but of society and the country. Women have, in India, been left out of the advancement of GDP and you know, the increase in the economy. And I think if we focus on the woman borrower and the woman client, there's a tremendous sense of satisfaction, not just for us, but also for the household, where actually the woman is the more important part. And just to kind of help the woman client as well do things better and better, we've been engaged in educating, knowledge transfer, how to use bank accounts, digital. The idea being that the more they know how to use things themselves, the less dependent they are on the rest of the household, the more empowered and confident they feel, and therefore they can undertake bigger and bigger objectives for their own and their family's betterment.
And so why do you think doing what you're doing is important?
It's a necessary conversation, and especially in a country like India where women have traditionally not benefited from the growth in the economy as much as the men have, and it's actually a cultural kind of challenge. If organizations promote that and are bringing the entire institutional knowledge and structure to bear on this problem, I think it's a terrific opportunity to contribute to GDP and GDP in a meaningful manner so that gender equality, gender movement in a multiple ways, including economic opportunity, is advanced.
So what's next then in terms of RBL and how it supports women?
I think where we see the next level of opportunity is to provide the knowledge and the skills for women to upgrade their work and their jobs. And I'm talking specifically about the financial inclusion side, because many women who are doing these things actually are still doing them with traditional practices. So if you are able to help them on rudimentary skills around cash flow management, accounting, how to use a bank, how to use a bank account, how do you make payments, how do you use digital, you know, these are small things but give a tremendous amount of empowerment to the woman.
So that's about it for this episode. Hopefully it's given you a better idea of the opportunities open to businesses and investors in advancing women's economic empowerment. If you want to dig a bit deeper into this topic, then you can go to our website, cdcgroup.com, where we have an insight paper on this exact issue. And that paper has some practical tips and advice on what people can do. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again soon.